well, a 12-minute message, a 12-minute message. Let's all stand to our feet for the reading of the text. You've been seated for a while, and thereafter we'll close out. Psalm 100, we'll read together in unison. This is from the New American Standard Bible. Let's read together, shall we? Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. Today's message is entitled, Home for the Holidays. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for this joyful, holy assembly today, God. We pray that you've been glorified. Now, Father, teach us well that we might honor and give thanks to you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. The day before Thanksgiving, an elderly man in Phoenix called his son in New York and said to him, quote, I hate to ruin your day, but I have to tell you that your mother and I are divorcing. 45 years of misery is enough. We're sick of each other. And so you call your sister in Chicago and tell her. Frantic, the son called his sister, exploded on the phone. They're not getting divorced, she shouted. I'll take care of this. She called Phoenix immediately and said to her father, quote, you're not getting divorced. Don't you do a single thing until I get there. I'm calling my brother back, and we'll both be there tomorrow. Until then, don't do a thing. Do you hear me? The father hung up his phone and turned to his wife and said the following, quote, okay, honey, the kids are coming for Thanksgiving and paying for their own flights, end of quote. No ear present has escaped the holiday tune, Home for the Holidays. Oh, there's no place like home for the holidays, because no matter how far you roam, when you pine for the sunshine of a friendly gaze, for the holidays, you can't beat home, sweet home. Take a bus, take a train, go and hop on an airplane. Put the wife and kitties in the family car for the pleasure that you bring. When you make the doorbell ring, no trip could be too far. Some of you present have arrived for the holidays, and some of you right after today's service will be going home for the holidays. What makes the holidays so special? Well, it begins with the word itself, holidays. The word holidays means holy days. And in the Bible, feast days were literally feast weeks, extended days of preparation and celebration. For example, we are about to enter the Advent season, weeks of preparation leading up to the celebration of the birth of Christ. You see, holidays and holy days are days of worship, days of celebration, days of thanksgiving. We celebrate these days with family and friends. So then, holidays can reveal the strength, love, honor, cohesiveness of a family, or it can reveal glaring dysfunction, pain, resentment, ills within a family. For some of you, the holy days are the joy of your heart because of family. In others, it may be the dread of your heart because of family. Do you have the right attitude regarding your family for the holidays? The story is told of two friends who bumped into one another on the street one day. One of them looked sad, almost on the verge of tears. His friend asked, what has the world done to my old friend? The sad fellow said, well, let me tell you. 3 weeks ago, an uncle died and left me $40,000. That's a lot of money. But 2 weeks later, a cousin I never even knew died and left me $85,000 free and clear. Sounds like you've been blessed. You don't understand, he interrupted. Last week, my great aunt passed away. I inherited almost $250,000. Now, he was really confused. Then why do you look so grim? This week, nothing. Do you have the right attitude regarding your family for the holidays? There are many reasons to give thanks. Look around you. There are many reasons to give thanks. Just look above you. So in Psalm 100, there are seven imperatives or seven commands that the psalmist instructs us to carry out. First, we're to shout. Secondly, we're to serve. Third, we're to come. Fourth, we're to know. Fifth, we're to enter. Sixth, we're to give thanks. And seven, we are to bless. So finally, let me give you some takeaways and observations that would strengthen you this holiday season. Now, this psalm belongs to a genre called kingship songs. Therefore, all the nations are called to present themselves before the Lord. In that being the case, the structural format of the psalm is the following. First, we're to give thanks, and then we're called to celebrate the covenant that God has with his people. So the takeaways are the following. God's divine perfections are infinite. Consider this. His kindness, his benevolence, his goodness, his generosity, his mercy, so on and so forth, are infinite. Therefore, as we increasingly behold his perfections and give thanks for these perfections, we are being perfected in the process. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? That's why we're to make a joyful noise to the Lord. We're to shout before the Lord, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth for all generations. So as we behold his perfections, and as we give thanks regarding his perfections, we are being perfected in the process. So in other words, God is perfecting us through his perfections. That's why we're to behold the goodness of the Lord. Let the church say amen. You see, as God is perfecting us through his perfections, it gives us the strength of character to trust him through the imperfections of this world. In other words, God knows this world is imperfect. This world is messed up. This world can confuse you. This world can be confounding. So in other words, we lift up our eyes to the hills and we behold the perfections of God. And now God perfects us through his perfections so that we can encounter and deal with the imperfections of this world. And that being the case, have you not noticed that you can be poor and give thanks to the Lord? You can be sick and give thanks to the Lord. You can be hurting and give thanks to the Lord. You can be rejected and give thanks to the Lord because you have been so reflective upon God's perfections, and his perfections are perfecting you. Now you know how to encounter the imperfections of this world. That's why when people encounter the hard realities of this world, they need a Christian to intercede with them, to help them to see a perfect God who can see them through the imperfections of this life. Let the church say amen. You see, beloved, Psalm 100 is a call to worship. It's a call to a liturgical worship. You say, well, what is a liturgical worship? A liturgical worship, liturgical means public, a public worship of God. God has called us to publicly worship him. On the first day of the week, we are to assemble ourselves together that we might liturgically, that we might publicly worship God. And that's exactly what you did this morning. In other words, you give liturgical worship of God, and now later this afternoon, you'll give private devotion and thanksgiving to God. That is what distinguished you from other believers this morning. You gave God a public worship, a liturgical worship. This morning, you rendered a public thanks. You see, let us enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. Max Lucado tells about living as an American in Brazil. One day, as he was walking along the street on his way to the university to teach a class, he felt a tug on his pants leg. Turning around, he saw a little boy about 5 or 6 years old with dark, beady eyes and a dirty little face. The little boy looked up at the big American and said, "Bread, sir." He was a little beggar boy, and Lucado said, "There are always little beggar boys in the streets of Brazil. Usually I turn away from them because there are so many and you can't feed them all. But there was something so compelling about this little boy that I couldn't turn away. So taking his hand, I said, 'Come with me and I took him into a coffee shop. Max told the owner, I'll have a cup of coffee and give this boy a piece of pastry, whatever he wants. Since the coffee counter was at the other end of the store, Max walked over and got a cup of coffee, forgetting about the little boy, because the beggar boys usually get the bread and then run back out into the street and disappear. But this one didn't. After he got his pastry, he went over to the big American and stood there until Licato felt his staring eyes. Licato said, I turned and I look at him. Standing up, his eyes just about hit my belt buckle. Then slowly his eyes came up until they met mine. The little boy holding his pastry in one hand looked up and said, thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Licato said, I was so touched by the boy's thanks that I would have bought the store. I sat there for another 30 minutes late for my class, just thinking about a little beggar boy who came back and said, thank you. Let us enter his gates with thanksgiving, and may you go home for the holidays. Let's then look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Let's all stand, shall we, as we close out in prayer. Father, we thank you for your people who've assembled today. And oh God, we have dealt with so many imperfections in this world this year of 2018. But God, we can still say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we have beheld your perfections. We're being perfected through your perfections that we can encounter and manage all the imperfections of this world. God, we're so thankful we can look to you, and we're so thankful we can enter into your gates with thanksgiving. And now, Father, help us to be home for the holidays as we enjoy family and friends that you have blessed us with. We ask this all in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. You say, Pastor Bob, I believe a person can be poor and still give thanks. If you believe that, just raise your hand. You can be poor and give thanks. You can be rejected and give thanks. You can be hurting and give thanks. You can be sick and give thanks. And truly, Paul's words are true. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. If you're thankful this morning, raise both hands before God. God, I thank you. God, I thank you. God, I thank you for your perfections in the midst of all of these imperfections. God, I thank you. God, I thank you. God, I thank you that you're perfecting me through your perfections. God, I thank you. God, I thank you. God, I thank you. For the psalmist has said, if it had not been but for the Lord on my side, where would I be? We bless your name, Lord. We bless your name.